McCook, all are descendants or have known descendants of James B. and Elizabeth English Ward. They're all from Bruce, Florida.
We're on now, ladies. Well, last time we were talking about the trapping. So, Aunt Maisie, you want to tell us about traps?
Well, I used to watch Grandpa make his traps, and he made them out of little wooden slats about 2 feet long. He'd build them up and alternate them until they were like a little jail about a foot high. And then he raised it up and he put a treadle in there on a string. A treadle was the thing that they walked on, and that sprung the trap then.
This is for birds?
For birds. This was for quail mostly. And
I've got one of
them. Then we bait.
You have one of them?
Well, I wanted it.
I want to see it if you have it.
He would bait the trap, you know, all put the feed on the ground, and then we'd go away a little place and sit down to eat our lunch. We always carried us some dinner with us when we went in the woods, and directly he'd hear the trap. His hearing was the best of anybody's you ever saw near. He'd say, well, the trap is sprung. We'll go see how many we got. And I've seen him take as many as 30 quails out of one of these traps. Well, he reached in and he caught about 4, which would be what we'd need for supper. And then he'd turn all the rest out,
of course. Did he keep any extras?
No, he never destroyed any game of any kind that he didn't need or have a use for.
Did he trap seasonal?
Well, yes, he did. He trapped every season. And he didn't do a lot of trapping, but he did some. And he'd find these little walks where the animals walk the little trails. And then he'd dig down there a little bit, and he'd put this steel trap in there. And he'd cover it over with some leaves. And he'd put it under a log, usually a log that had fallen and was a tree that had fallen and was up off the ground a foot or two. He'd usually put his traps under a place like that or under a limb of a tree where nobody could walk, because he never wanted to catch anybody in his traps. And then he'd trap all kind of animals, coons and possums and wildcats, bobcats, and otters near the river, of course.
Otters?
He used to trap the otters. He could find an otter slide where nobody else would see it. And he'd trap them in the slide where they slid into the water.
They had otters here?
Oh, yes. There's otters down there in the creek close to our house now.
I never knew there was an otter anywhere.
Would you believe there's some right down there? I know they come in that fresh water, you know, from the river mouth. They're right in front of Pat's house down there.
Yeah, they play in all that water.
They play in all that water down. And there's the biggest alligator down there.
You ever hunt for gators?
Yes, he trapped some alligators, too.
Trapped them? He didn't have to spear them or anything?
No, you don't fool around with spearing an alligator, not the kind we have in these woods. But he did do a good bit of trapping. Once in a while, he'd catch a big old bird in his traps, and I don't care what kind it was, he cooked it, and I helped him eat it. Let me tell right now about the time that we thought he brought home the turkey. We were so elated because we were going to have turkey and dumplings. So when it got cooked, I noticed, however, that it had an awful lot of neck. But I wasn't too familiar with wild turkeys, so I thought that would be all right. So when we got it all fixed and on the table and passed it to Grandpa, he declined. And he says, I don't believe I'll eat any of the old crane. And he brought that big crane already dressed and cut up, and we thought we had a wild turkey. So we just turned in and ate it. It was good, but he didn't care for any, thank you.
Did he eat alligator?
I don't know if he did or not, but I did. I like alligator.
Did he skin them when he...
Yeah, they would skin them out and ship the hides then.
That was on the Fritz, that little steamboat?
Well, they shipped them out on the Fritz a lot of the time, but they sent them out by mail most of the time, because you could come in a quarter of a mile of the post office and tell if anybody had hides going out in the mail to ship them to New Orleans to the fur place there.
They weren't supposed to have the hides?
Oh, yes, they were supposed to have them. It was legal, but they didn't ever, they never did smell real good when
they were packed.
They packed them and sewed them up in burlap bags.
Uh-huh.
And the alligator hides were not cured anyway. They were raw.
They didn't tan the hides.
They didn't tan the hides. Now, they dried out and sunned out the other hides,
mm-hmm.
cured them a certain degree.
Stretched them on a board.
And they stretch them on a wall,
a pretty
smokehouse wall or something like that, and a coon hide would be just as square as that.
Oh, they ship coons too?
Oh, yeah. Coon hides, possum hides, all kind of little fur animals.
And you see, then we'd have to pay a fancy price to get a coat with a collar made out of one.
So y'all never made the coats yourself?
No.
No, we don't.
No, we weren't in the tanning business. We didn't know how to do that. Now, when they took the skins off of the animals and cut away all of the fat that they could cut away with the meat, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they stretched the hides, they put the little nails about an inch apart, or half an inch apart, all around on the board that they put them on. Some of them they stretched over a board like an ironing board that shaped itself, and they were put in the sun to dry a long time. And they were, when they were shipped out, they didn't stink, except they smelled like fur, you know, raw fur. But the alligator hides were the stinkiest things you ever saw. And you could go to the post office out here in the country and tell any time when somebody was shipping out alligator hides, because you could smell them half a mile.
They was downwind from them.
Yeah, or whether you were or not, you could smell them. But Grandpa trapped quite a few birds and things like that. Anything that he wanted to eat, he managed to get in a trap mostly, or catch it, you know, out of the river.
And I think he talked to his sons and they taught their sons, and at this time, we're going to let Agnes tell us how Jasper would get rid of the alligators in the places that he wanted to fish. Don't you remember how he'd catch the fish and stick it on the stick, and he'd stick it up above the water?
Oh, and he'd eat the fish and
What?
Poison the gator.
He poisoned the fish?
No, the one fish, you know, that he caught, and then the gator would eat that, and he'd would kill him then, get him out of the way.
Maybe he was a dangerous one, you know, right where he needed to fish off of.
Uh-huh. Well, see, the reason he did that was because the gator caught the hogs.
Oh, yes, they had the hog claim in the Choctahatchee River swamp, you see. Led right up to the river,
uh-huh.
and the alligators, they would catch the hogs.
Uh-huh.
So Jasper catch a fish, poison the fish, I guess with strychnine, you reckon?
Mm-hmm.
And he said he'd get a little twig, and he'd put it on it and stick it in the bank, you know,
uh-huh.
and let it be just up above the water, and he said not very long he'd come along there and take it off. And a few days after that, he'd find him dead.
Take him a couple of days to die.
I imagine he agonized.
How did they catch the pigs?
Well, the pigs, I guess, would go down to get water, maybe. I don't know how
they well, or they'd swim, you know.
Yes, that's right.
They'd swim the river.
The pig would?
Lots of times, mm-hmm. Pop would kill them, and then when their feet would be gone, you know, where the gator just bite his front foot off.
Or sometimes the ham would have a long scar on it, you know, when he was killed and dressed.
You know, those huge alligators, they wouldn't even hesitate to catch a cow by the leg.
They'll sure catch a dog if he goes in the water there and drown it, you
see. Jasper told about sitting off of the tree waiting 2 hours for that one to get away, was lying with his mouth right up against his tire. And he knowed if he'd done anything to him, he'd just grab that tire. So he sat way off until the alligator decided he won't go back in the water so he could get to his car. He wouldn't dare make the alligator move because he grabbed
the tire.
He
would bite that tire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you think of that tale?
He just had to sit and wait for that alligator to go back in the
water. See, he'd come out of the water and gone out on the hill where Jasper was parked, I presume.
Mm-hmm. He told me one time.
And Jasper couldn't get out of the water to get to the car?
No, he wasn't in the water.
He wasn't in the water?
No, they'd park like that and go out and put out corn for the hogs.
Put out their traps.
And check their traps, maybe fish some and
they'd
do what they
wanted
to do, you know.
So the pigs wouldn't be wild.
See, they had to get them gentle enough to where they could trap them in these pens eventually and mark them, you know. They'd cut their little ears, you know, and put their
mark on them.
Yeah, that's the way they marked them, wasn't
it? Yeah,
I used to know
marks
in that
dad's
mark.
Cropping under bit.
So they just waited and got them into pens.
Well,
you
see that.
Waited for the pigs to go into the pen?
Yeah, they'd trap them in the pens that way in order to mark them in the spring.
And maybe one ear, they'd just split it.
Mm-hmm.
Just according to whatever his mark was that he had registered with the county.
Every one of the men had their own mark, you see.
Mm-hmm. Are they registered the mark with
the
county?
Yeah, we registered our hog marks and also our cattle brands. And you'd mark your cows and your hogs with the same mark in their ears. Then you'd have a branding iron to put on your cattle. My name was Thomas, of course, at the time that I owned cattle in the woods, and my brand was a diamond, like Diamond Joe's, with a T in the middle of it.
Did Diamond Joe ever hunt with a bow and arrow?
He could. He made me some bows and arrows, but I never killed anything with them.
He made his own arrows?
Yes, he could make his own arrows and his own bows, too.
Did he have to look for the material to make it with?
I don't know where he looked to get it from, but it was pliable wood, the bows were. And, of course, the arrows were straight sticks with the pieces of... He used to make a few like the Indians always made theirs with a piece of rock in it, you know, tied in it with a leather string.
Mm-hmm.
Tied on it with leather string.
Did he have to shape the rock?
Usually he found the rocks already shaped. They'd be kind of sharp on one side, a lot of them would. I don't know that
he
ever sharpened
them. Sharpen it.
I don't think he ever, I never saw him, never remembered seeing him sharpen any of them, but I remembered seeing him fool around with them some.
What about Grandpa Jeff?
Grandpa Jeff was our great-grandfather, too, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he was the basket maker that we talked about before.
And he was the meanest of his daughter and men.
Was he?
Was he?
Mean?
He was ugly talking, yes. Now when I knew him, right at this place here when the other house, Uncle Warren's house, was here, you know. And he was living with Aunt Susie and Uncle Warren and Lydia and me. I stayed with my sister-in-law, and of course that was her grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he cussed.
He was never a Christian that I ever heard of.
Oh, he.
And it worried Grandpa Joe. Terribly, you know.
And he's the only one I know of in the whole bunch that cursed bad like that.
He was dying
just about it, lying up there about to die. He couldn't even get out of bed. And he just cussed for everything.
And he's the one that his wife haunted him so long after she died.
What? I never heard this before.
And she would never let him sleep at night. She'd pull on his pillow. Pull his pillar out from under his head and pester him in the night, you know, and never would let him sleep. So one night he was camping by himself in the woods, and he didn't have much of a pillar. And when he lay down, he sat back up, he said, and told her, "Now let me alone tonight. Don't you bother me anymore tonight now. I want to sleep, and I've not got a good place to sleep, and don't you pester me tonight." So just whenever He got to sleep good. Here comes his pillow slid out from under his head, and he'd got him a rock about that big and laid inside of his pallet when he lay down. And he whammed where he thought she was with that rock, and he said she never bothered him another time after that. So I guess she got the message that he didn't want her around anymore, and he said, you know, I missed her after that.
Well, I would have wanted to miss her.
She'd come every night?
Every night. He said from the time she died till then that he called it that he killed her then.
She wasn't the one that called him Jeffy, was she?
No. That was my later on. That was Miss Pitts, his lady friend. He never married her.
Oh, he's probably afraid to after what the first one did to him.
I don't know that I ever would try another one, do you? But at any rate, he was a mean grandpa, and I never did love him like I did Grandpa Joe. And I don't think that his own grandchildren loved him.
I tell you, Liddy, like, see, he was Liddy's grandfather.
I know. And Mama's.
And she'd ease by, you know, and then Susie would make her go in there and ask him how he was. And then he'd just blow a fuse. He'd say some of the worst things to her. I didn't never go in there. I was scared to death. Because, you know, none of our people
what did
curse like
mean?
That.
Whoever knew.
Nobody knew why
he was mean. He was just mean all of his life like that.
He wasn't. Was he jealous? I don't guess he was jealous. He came
he didn't
down
have
to
anybody to be jealous of. Now, his first wife was Holland Purvis, was she? I guess she's the one that died and haunted him after that.
Hell, now, weren't
four brothers.
She died.
I don't know, but anyway,
didn't
it was
four
his
brothers
wife.
Marry four sisters?
No, I think it was three brothers married three sisters, and one of their sisters maybe married a brother of the Purvises.
I know there was.
There was a whole lot of them.
I've got all that on the paper.
Oh, there was a whole lot of them that married into the Purvis family anyway.
That Grandpa Jeff's wife was Holland. Grandpa Joe's wife was Apsibeth, and we don't know who that other sister was, do you?
I imagine Margie would know who.
Oh.
Somebody.
One of
you've got
Florence,
all that somewhere.
Yeah, I've got all of it. She's got it, too.
Well,
you might
know
you
that.
Might not have all that. Florrie's. One of them was Florrie's grandpa.
Well, that was Margie's grandpa. Uncle Jack.
You reckon?
Yeah.
That's John Jackson Ward.
Yeah.
Right? He's the one that they had trouble proving was a brother at all.
Oh.
I think. Yeah, because he hadn't been around for any of the censuses.
He
was
gone from home
Ward,
when they started on the census,
yeah.
I think.
But what happened to Monroe Ward? How did he end up in Perry? Away from his brothers.
He moved down there.
Well,
after.
He was the youngest one, and he was the one that Grandma Elizabeth English lived with after he was grown, I guess, and married.
Or he lived with her.
Or
anyway,
he
lived
she
with
stayed
her
with him.
Yeah.
When he was in Alabama and
yeah.
had the farm, he lived with her. Then after he was married and had children, she lived with him.
Yes. And they might have gone to Perry. So
was that
mm-hmm.
now the John Jackson?
Now she
was Monroe.
She was done dead before he moved to
Perry.
Yeah. No, to Sopchop.
Oh yeah, it was Sopchop instead of Perry.
Mm-hmm. Well, had he had a problem with his brothers?
Not that I know of.
No, he just decided to move someplace else.
He was just the baby one
well,
of that
see,
family, and they were all settled before he was grown.
Mm-hmm. They were all gone.
They moved away and left him, I presume.
See, he was the youngest one, and he lived with Elizabeth English, our great-grandmother.
How many people lived in Bruce when Diamond Joe came down here? Were there many people around?
I don't
family?
Know whether anybody lived in Bruce or not, because all the people that I used to know of that lived in Bruce or around here back then was Ward's.
Well, I'll tell you, when he moved from Alabama, Papa was 6 years old. Your daddy was 2 years old. And it tell, I've got where it tells how old all of them was when they moved from Alabama. And Grandpa moved up there at the Dead River.
Yeah.
Were there Irish people here then?
I don't think very many. Might have been a few.
Because I know Popeye's family came in then to work with the timber? Well, Diamond Joe used to do the timber running, didn't he?
He did some work. He surveyed a lot, Grandpa did. And then Uncle Warren was a surveyor afterward.
Mm-hmm.
But Grandpa was the surveyor way back a long time ago. And I don't think very many people lived in here along then, not too mm-hmm. many.
You had to do much surveying where there wasn't very many people, and the way they got land, didn't they take up a homestead?
Now right down there where Isla lives, my granny proved up that homestead.
Was that 40 acres or 60 or what?
40. In Jasper, 40. Built that house there.
Did you have to live on it? Live on the land 5 years, or what were the requirements?
You had to spend. I forget, but Granny had a little log cabin right back of where Jasper built.
Been there, seen her.
And
he was right in back.
Then where Hazel lives down there. My oldest sister homesteaded that, mm-hmm. and that's where my daddy built the house. But he married my mother, and they lived between here and Freeport, right down by the Brigham Branch. I believe it was Brigham Branch, wasn't it?
They settled along where there was water most
of
it.
Yeah, Camp Creek.
Yeah, and wherever
they
was.
And they was married. Mom and Pop was married out in the yard under a mulberry
tree. They had much law and order back then?
I don't think they had to have too much. They had some mighty good times in the fall of the year when the crops were gathered in and they had the harvest festival. It lasted
about...
They had it in this part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
They had it at the places where people had their farms, you know, and lived. And it would last about 3 days and nights. They'd kill hogs and have a lot of fresh meat, and they'd kill beef and have a lot of what we'd call barbecue, I guess, today.
They'd make syrup.
And they made syrup and had candy pullings, and they had dances every night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the only time in the world that the young men and the young women got to stay together without some supervision. But there was just so much going on till the old folks couldn't keep up with them. And mm-hmm. Grandpa said he had a terribly good time all along then. And old Dr. Adair from Geneva, who was a dentist, and his father was a dentist even before him, he came down through here one time when the wards were having their harvest festival, and he got in on it. And one of the young men of the family, somehow, I don't know who he was, he didn't like Dr. Adair looking at his girlfriend, and he got a toothache, and Dr. Adair filled that tooth with pure silver, and then he left. He said he knew to leave because they'd caught him and killed him, because when he filled a tooth with pure silver, it never quit hurting again. It hurt just as long as it was a tooth or a jaw to hurt.
I've heard that before.
And he mm-hmm. said he got back at that fella for being so jealous of him and of Dr. Adair and this fella's girlfriend till he filled that tooth with silver, and then he got on his horse and rode just as fast as he could for Alabama.
And you know, at these big dances that she's talking about, that's where our aunts did all that book dancing, you know. They could outdance anything you ever saw.
Now, my mama could do that.
Could she? I didn't know.
They had their own musicians around.
She did that. She did not, you know, not very long before she died. Her and Aunt Becky, they'd hop up and
face each other.
And they'd wear them long dresses.
Aunt Laura.
And Mama would just pick her dress up. Just pick that big long skirt up and hold it. And boy, her and Aunt Becky would go at it.
Well, when Dad was on his deathbed, Aunt Becky and Aunt Apsy went to visit him. And he got to playing some radio music, and he said, I used to get up in the morning early and dance for this kind of music, but I can't get up and dance anymore. They said, well, we can, so they stepped right out on the floor and faced each other. And
she was older than you, wasn't she?
Aunt Becky was older than Dad. Aunt Apsy was about 2 years younger than Dad, and they just danced till they gave out right there in that sick room where he was, and he enjoyed it.
Did they, when they made their cane syrup, did they pull the skimmings off?
Yeah, they always pulled out of the skimmings. I guess they hauled it and threw it away. I don't know what they did with it or fed it to the hogs.
They did what the people didn't drink.
I can tell you.
They have a hole in the bottom of the barrel. And when that stuff would work and work and work. And
ferment.
Yeah. And they'd have a hole down there and just pull that. Johnny had a big nail or a peg. Pull it out and catch them a cup full of it.
Did the women get a little on the drunk side too?
I never heard of it in the day.
I never did see it.
And not
just
all
some
the men, just a few of the men. I never saw a drunk man until I was about 15 or 16 years old. It was the first drunk I ever saw in my whole life.
Grandpa Jeff never drank?
No.
I never did see him drink.
Never heard of it if he did. He chewed tobacco.
Uh-huh. And cursed, that was his main
And I wanted to chew
thing.
Tobacco the worst kind because he did. So I got me a chew one time and I could hear... We were at Grandma Burke's then, way over there in Washington County in the woods, and I could hear something coming down the road, and I didn't know if it was a motorcycle or a car, but I wanted to be sure and see it. Now, Dr. Lowry used to ride his motorcycle on his house calls down in
yeah,
the woods.
Yeah, motorcycle?
Yeah, motorcycle way back then. And he'd ride it down that dirt road, you know, on his house calls. Well, just as I got the chew of tobacco really going good to where I could spit a little brown, you know, on the ground, I heard this thing coming. And I went to the picket fence, and I couldn't see good enough over the picket fence or through it, so I got up on the post of the picket fence, and the motorcycle went by right about that time, and the wind from it knocked me off of that post, and I swallowed that little chew of tobacco. And oh, was I ever sick. Mama thought I was dying from the fall, and I didn't tell that it wasn't the fall, it was the tobacco, but I never wanted any more of his tobacco.
We had various experiences that summer.
Didn't we, though? That was the time the big old wild hog nearly caught us. You remember?
Yeah, but let me tell this before I forget it about one of the funniest things ever had happened to us, we thought. Maisie and I never had seen a parrot. We knew Aunt Ella had parrots, but she lived in Central America, you know, so uh-huh. We never had seen one.
Had Peter come by then?
No. Oh, he'd come and visit once in a great while. But Aunt Ella came for her visit. She'd come every 2 or 3 years. And she brought Granny Burke a parrot. And she was a pretty old and spoke real well, Spanish and English and all sorts of things, even dialects. So we'd been picking cotton and putting it on the end of the porch.
What? You had to pick cotton? What did y'all do with the cotton? Did you spin the cotton or something?
No, sold it.
Grandpa sold it, I guess.
I guess that's what they did.
They're spraying.
So they, Granny or Aunt Ella one, they put the old poly out on this board that went around the cotton. They fenced it off, see, so it wouldn't blow away, you know. Well, we went out around the end of the house, Maisie and I did, to look at poly. We didn't want a thing to do with her, but wanted to see her. So she is walking up and down this board, you know. And so when she saw us there, you know, she turned her head crooked and looked at the cotton and she'd say, what's that? So she never had seen any cotton. Well, we couldn't stand to try to talk to a bird, you know, so all we'd do was to laugh. But we just a tickle, we didn't know what to. She'd walk way down the other way and she'd turn around and she'd come back. Turn her head to the side and look and she'd say, "What's up?" Well, she'd ask us that 3-4 times. I'd say, "Tell her, Maisie." Maisie'd say, "No, you tell her." I'd say, "No, you tell her." And we'd try to get each other to tell, to talk with Polly. Well, we wouldn't, so after a while, I think she was angry with us. So she made another trip or two, you know, and she'd look right at the cotton, turn her head to the side, and turn one eye down toward the cotton, you know. And she says, "What's that?" I said, "That's cotton, you old fool," and we run just as hard as we could. I'll always remember that, I think, when I'm on the cooling board. I never see nothing as funny in my life. We couldn't be got to speak to her, you see, as long as she talked nicely to us. But when she stormed at us, then that made me mad, you see. I never wanted anybody to yell at me, you know. So I got old sister told what the cotton was, and we round the house we went. We went in the house, and Aunt Ellis asked us. She could tell something was up. She said, "What you girls been doing?" She could probably hear Polly, you know. I said, "We went around there to look at that old bird, and she's hollered and squalled at us till I finally told her what the cotton is," and Aunt Ella just threw her head back and laughed.
"They're spraying the pine trees," is what
she
doing.
Said. Why didn't you
tell
her what she wanted to know?
I never heard tell them spread no pine.
They do. They're doing it now. They've just finished down their way.
Well, I'd be glad when they finish out here.
I thought they was hunting.
No, they're
something like they did when that plane was lost out.
They're spraying.
They
this is spraying.
They may be hunting something too. You know,
I thought maybe they was
hunting.
That's
how they called good old Buck. The Sanders men was down there hunting.
I thought maybe they
were
hunting marijuana.
That's probably what they're along with spraying the pines. You can't tell.
That's the way they found it over at Paul Wagner.
Yeah, they have those cameras that makes it all come up real close.
I think you might as well turn that off.
You? It'll be all right. They're going to stop soon. I'll keep it running as long as we can get it to shut up.
I don't know when we're going to get it to shut up.
Now, whose son was Uncle Pink?
Grandpa Diamond Joe's son.
He was one of Diamond Joe's?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right.
Let's talk about Uncle Pink.
Well, all I could tell wouldn't be very good.
Well, just say tell it like it is. The main thing I could remember about Uncle Pink, he had a small farm, and he could make the best sweet potatoes that I ever have seen. And Aunt Martha, she would cook them in a black skillet with a lid on it in the fireplace, put fire under it and fire on top. Once in a while, she'd go there and
put the fire on top of the pan?
Of the lid. It had
the
a heavy
of
lid.
The thing had a flange up around the top, around the side of it, about 1.5 inches high. Mm-hmm. And when you got your potatoes put in the skillet and got it set on these legs, tripod legs, into the coals, you know. Then you picked up coals and piled on the top of the lid, which the flange held in, you see.
Uh-huh. And it had a
big handle across it.
Handle across the top,
yeah,
and
you could
take a
stick in under that handle and lift your lid off and not disturb your coals.
Uh-huh.
Turn your potatoes over or see if they were ready to eat.
Is this
ready
where they
eat?
Had them, what you were telling them, the mud and the wood chimneys?
Yeah,
right. Sticking
their
right.
Chimneys.
Yes. Well, they
that
didn't have brick chimneys then.
Clay chimneys.
They had what they
just
called.
Just a few of the elite people had the brick chimneys.
Well, I didn't see any. I was not among the elite then.
Who was?
They wasn't very. They wasn't very many elites then.
Well, I remember.
Old man Carrington was about the only one I knew.
The Carringtons? No, that's the Boeingtons now I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
the
Boeingtons.
Elite?
The Well, they
Mr.
were later
Carrington
on. Mr. Carrington
married
was.
Anna.
Uh-huh.
Boynton.
Well, what did they do now when they lived here? Did they move into Bruce?
He come here and bought up all the honey, and he bought all, when Pop had that big apron down at Wise Love, and he had the honey house down there. And
the honey house?
Yeah, yes, the house they, where they stored the honey and where,
oh, they, did, they,
where they cook it out of there.
The honey?
Yeah.
He had about 200 beehives, and we'd go down there and stay. We lived then down here where Hazel lives.
Uh-huh.
And wasn't any of them married then, Sally or Kate or Carter. None of the children weren't married yet. But they were all grown. And he had a honey slinger. It was every bit of that big around, and from the floor up that high, and they just dumped the honey in there. See, there was no electricity then, and he had a big hammer. He turned it, and that slung the honey out of the comb, and then the honey run out in big
tubs. I'd separate the cups from the honey.
And it was put in barrels and shipped to New York.
Where was everything shipped from here?
From the Wise Bluff, mostly.
Yeah.
That's where Dad had three big warehouses. At the Wise Bluff.
They had stuck warehouses
out,
down
stuck
here?
Out old,
yeah,
saw
great
over
big
the
warehouses.
River like that.
Yeah, yeah, right out over the river.
Papa had a big warehouse down there then.
Well, where did the Calford come in?
The Calford was where you had to go to cross the river.
To get to Panama City
on the road.
Oh, and that's got the big island.
In the middle there, the island.
Okay.
Not the big island, though, I don't
it's
think
just
is
the
crazy.
Island?
Just the island.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's the way they got rid of it. And when they got that honey out of the comb, you know, they took the comb then, made beeswax.
Mom put it in wash pots.
Out of that. And it had smelled so
she'd
good.
Put a little water in the pot, then pour all this wax in there. And she stirred that. And then she had her tubs sitting there with about that deep in water, and then after this wax was all melted, and she got all the trash out of it, see? Skimmed all the trash out, then she poured it in this cold water, and it set overnight in that tub. Then next morning, they'd take a knife and just cut right around and just turn that, it'd be, them cakes of wax would be that big, that thick. He shipped all of that. All that went to New York.
You all made your own candles, or did you buy your candles?
We never
but
had
we
candles.
We didn't use candles.
You know what we
used?
We used
kerosene lamps.
String and a bottle of color, if you didn't have a lamp.
Well, you didn't use those candles then.
Well, we had an electric light plant at my daddy's. That's when we were the elite, I guess.
Yep. Oh, this is later.
Because
you,
we had, when I was just a girl, years. We had the Delco system of lights, the furnished lights for the store and the house. But we had
nice
kerosene
lights,
lamps.
Lights people have now.
Mm-hmm.
She's in here. She might be watching.
You want to stop for a minute? Are you getting tired?
Oh.
Are you getting tired? You can stop for a minute.
Well, suit yourself.
Well, no, I
until we decide,
all day.
Until we decide who we're going to hang next or what.
Well, now, what we never did tell about
the, no, let's talk about the beeswax another minute. I remember seeing these big round cakes of beeswax that big, that as big as a wash tub, you know, and there'd be stacks of them. There'd be 8 and 10 and 12 in a stack, and they shipped them on the Fritz. And I used to spread a sack on there and sit on that beeswax while I watched the water as we went down to the bay, you know, to Pensacola.
Uh-huh. Oh, you rode the boat down to Pensacola?
Lots of times.
How long did it take to get to Pensacola?
Well, you'd leave down here. I forget just what time you'd leave here, but I remember better about leaving Pensacola when they'd be loaded with freight for up here, you know.
Uh-huh.
Leave Pensacola at 6 o'clock in the evening, and when they get ready to leave, they give us a certain blast on the horn. So wherever we were downtown, we could grab a taxi and make it down to the dock and get on. and we'd have a little last minute shopping to do, you know, and they'd blow the horn for us, or the whistle it was, really, and we'd go get on, and we'd leave there at 6 o'clock in the evening on Thursday evening, and by Friday afternoon we were up here unloading. They would be unloading freight by that time.
We got to spend one night on the boat.
Mousy, do you remember ever being on the boat when Ida was on there?
Yes, the first time I ever went to Pensacola, she carried me.
Do you remember, she told this and just died laughing. She said Mousy changed dresses 7 times that day. She had that many dresses, new
that
ones.
Many new ones to go
and
Pensacola
she said,
with.
She told her, said, well, Mousy, said she'd miss Mousy. Breakfast, she'd come out with another new dress on. And she said, Mousy don't wear all of them in one day. She said, they're mine. I'll wear them. Ida told me that. And
I don't
she
even
said,
remember.
She changed
but I don't
7 times.
Through a bit in the world.
She changed 7 times on that boat that
My
day.
Gracious.
Said she changed, she had that many new dresses.
I can remember, I can remember about going, about our trip rather, was how hard she had to beg Dad to let me go, you see.
Yeah.
But she didn't ever quit till he said yes, I could go.
I'm surprised they let y'all go.
Well, she carried me on my
first. Well, we all went on that boat any time we wanted to. Free of charge.
Sally,
we had the best good things to eat.
My goodness.
Wasn't
that
something?
That was nice.
There'd be
when I was in school in Pensacola, I could miss Friday school and come home, go back on Sunday night on the train, get somebody to take me to Cuny, I'd catch the train, and go back on Sunday night, go to school that Monday. That way I just missed one day of school. But I always enjoyed the trips on the old Fritz.
They had a school here then?
I reckon. I'd have enjoyed taking us because we didn't get too many trips.
That's right.
And different ones of us.
Her husband was one of the owners of the boat.
She'd take one of the younger ones, you know. She carried me lots of times. Then her and Sally, you know. Sally went a lot of times.
Well, I think she went any time she wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, took whoever she wanted to. They were not skin flint captains and so on.
No, anybody rode the boat, I guess, that wanted to.
Well, I don't know if they charged anybody, but they didn't charge us relatives.
An old nigger cook on there, Uncle Jack, he was almost white. He was so light colored, you know.
I remember.
He was the best cook I ever saw, nearly. And when they'd go into the table, he wouldn't let them start to eat till the baby got there. That was me. I was the youngest one that got to ride the boat in, you know. And he wouldn't let them start to eat till I got to the table.
Well,
I guess he wanted
to wonder you on there first.
Well, I usually was. But he didn't let any eating start till the baby got there. Well, he spoiled me rotten if he could. And I just loved it because he was the best cook I ever saw, nearly.
I can remember how everything on that boat was the best to eat I ever saw.
It must have been a pretty big boat.
It was a pretty big boat.
Wonder who got that picture that Lydia and Luther used to have hung on the wall of the Fritz.
I think one of Luther's sisters might have it. Jimmy's got one.
I think Carrie got
Lydia gave Selma a lot of them pictures before she died.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably a bunch of them down here maybe.
They got one of them. That might have been after. That may have been after Liddy was dead.
Well, when Jimmy bought the house, there was several good pictures of him in there, and he was supposed to have them, but he said he thought Luther's sisters took most of them, but he had one. I believe Billy Joe's got it. I don't know.
I got the couch out of there. They gave me the couch. That was Jasper bought it, and the ticket is still on the back of the couch.
Were there many black people in the area then?
There never have been none here, only when there was Shiloh was down there.
They didn't. When they had the turpentine stills, they used to work the blacks in the turpentine business.
Mm-hmm. When did turpentine start?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. It was going on when I was a child and,
well, now,
and wound up maybe when I was 16 or 17 years old, somewhere about that. And then Geneva Mill Company came in here and run a railroad, would you believe?
There was a
train down in Shiloh, down there where the Hilligosses live now. There was a train run right down there. And
I found a piece of track when I was a little girl.
Yeah. And they cut out all of the pine timber here, the Geneva Mill people did, and they hauled it then to the mill at Freeport, I think, is where it went to. But they cut out nearly all the trees, and what they didn't cut out, the big old machinery tore down. And that's the reason we were so near out of pines in this country for a long time, a lot of the woods. Now when they cut out a pine, they put another one back in place of it, or something like that. They have a system anyway.
What were you telling me about Stealing Creek?
Stealing Lake?
Stealing Lake? Wasn't that to do with the pine business?
That was to do with the logging business thing.
And I guess that was more
that was Cypress.
Yeah,
it was
Cypress.
Oh, they
Cypress. Did Cypress too?
When they'd cut the cypress up the river and they'd make it into rafts to float it down to the mill at Freeport or Pensacola, whichever place they took
it
to.
They tie it together?
Tie it all together and make a raft out of it. A raft of logs, they called it.
That's what the men learned to ride the logs.
Yeah. Then when the water would get real high in the upper end of Stealing Lake, the water would run through from the river into Stealing Lake and then out at the lower end of Stealing Lake and on back into the river again.
Mm-hmm.
But when a raft of logs would get broken up there on that bend, these logs had come into Stealing Lake. Well, they'd strike other trees and they didn't any of them come out at the lower end with the water. Well, away later on, when they'd get them a good many logs in there from the different freshets in the river, they'd go in there and raft them up and bring them out of there and go sell them. That was their logs then. And that's where Stealing Lake got its name.
Stealing logs.
From stealing logs.
I never had heard that before.
Yeah, that's where it got its name. I was awfully anxious to know how it got its name until I found out that it was
Sally Slew, you know.
Stole the logs.
You know, Sally Slew. You know how it got its name?
No, I forgot.
Was from Sally.
From your sister
when we'd be down there and they'd be getting honey out and all
that.
Well,
I know the sisters on the river got its name from the Purvis sisters, from our grandmothers. And another one or two of them got the sisters, some kind of a pocket, got its name from Grandma's apron pocket, because it was the shape of her apron pocket that she had.
Well,
Howell Lake got its name from some people by the name of Howell that had a sawmill up there.
Where did Bruce get its name?
I don't know. There was a time that when I was a child that Dad had a chance to rename Bruce because there was a Bryce down in southern Florida somewhere that they kept getting the mail mixed up between Bryce and Bruce. He had a chance to rename Bruce if he wanted to, and he considered it being Wardville a little bit, and then he decided he wouldn't have it at Wardville, he'd just keep it Bruce. So that's the way it stayed that way, and I don't know where it first got the name of
it
Bruce.
It was named for Bruce Johnson, one of the turpentine.
Yeah. Was that where it first got?
Is he not the one that got the first post office established here?
Mm-hmm.
And it was named for him, named Bruce.
And who had it?
Eva Ward, Uncle Warren Ward's daughter.
Yeah, I remember that, the house.
And then after Eva had it and married and went to Texas, Dad took it then? Was that the way
no,
he got it?
Sometime no, sometime or other Miss Hewitt had it, didn't she, Laura?
Miss Hewitt had it for a long time. She had it up there. She lived up there where Maldine lives. But somebody else had it in that house there at Uncle Warren's. Who? Do you remember, Agnes? Somebody.
It seemed like the Mayo had it.
He did.
Other Mayo. What was his name?
Oh.
Not Al Mayo. Zen Mayo.
Zen Mayo.
No, not Zen.
But he was the darkin, anyway.
Yeah.
That could write so pretty. He could really write pretty. Well, now.
I can't remember his name.
Buzinmail and Outmail.
Weren't they brothers?
Well, this was Al's brother.
Uh-huh.
Well.
That we're talking about. But I can't think of his first name. Ed knows it, though.
Yeah, now he'll know what it is.
Uh-huh.
Grover knows. Grover knows.
Was there ever a lynching around here?
A what?
A lynching. I was talking to Guy, he was telling me.
They was hangings. Is that what you call lynching?
Yeah.
They have them in Crestview, have them in Mariana.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only ones I know anything about.
Didn't have any at Bruce that I know of.
Had some
and
in
that
Crestview.
Wasn't lynchings, though.
No.
They were tried.
They were
convicted.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, he was telling me something about
they were hanging,
family
but they were
that
not.
Didn't leave when they were told to. Do you know anything?
Who?
About? Guy was telling me that he'd heard always about a black family that was told to leave.
There's never been no black family here that I know anything
never
about.
Never since the Turpentine days. Now there was one black man that kind of got left here in a hurry, but I don't think that anybody bothered him. I think he just got scared and left because they were afraid of Dad. The colored people that lived down in the quarters was afraid of him. But this one nigger man, his great big one, and we called him Old Sam. Sam, he sent a note up to the store to my stepmother to send him a dozen henberries.
Henberries?
Henberries instead of eggs.
Oh, I see.
So when Sam comes up to the store, nobody sent him anything, but Dad sent for him to come up there. And on the way up there, Dad walked out and met him on the road. And I saw him standing out there talking to Old Sam, and I was scared to death for what would happen. And he stood a foot and a half higher than Dad, and Dad was pointing up in his face this way and was talking to him and telling him not to send any more smart aleck notes up there to the store. And then they both turned and they were following something with their fingers around that way, and I thought, well, what in the world did they see? But what it was a swarm of gnats, a big swarm of gnats that had come along by, and they were both turned watching it, so I never saw Old Sam after that one time.
I remember that henberry episode.
He left suddenly, but I don't think anybody did anything to it.
Before your daddy had a store down here, Papa had a store.
Yeah.
Your daddy had the store at Double Ford.
Yeah.
Then, had that great big store. Then afterwards, when we moved there, that's where all the boys slept. It was just beds, 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 beds in that big old storehouse.
Who had the vision of the airplane?
Grandpa Diamond Joe.
He had the I remember that from when I was real little. Do you remember that?
No,
I
don't think I was even born when it happened. None of our people had ever seen a plane.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know there'd been any made then. But not very long after Mama and Dad were married, she's the one told me this. She said that she was at Grandpa and Grandma's house one day, up there where Willie lives. I told you where the old house was. No, I told the story, it was on up there close to the cemetery.
Near the cemetery.
Yeah, her house was close to where
we lived over that other place. Well, anyway, she said that Grandpa was out in the yard, and he run to the door and started to call it. Apsy and Florence, one right after the other, to come quick, run. And Mama said we ran just as hard as we could, about to run over each other. Got out the door, down the steps, and run around there where he was, and said he's looking right up in the sky, and a pointing. And there's a big, I guess it was that old Seven Run swamp. I don't know, Mama said there was a big old big swamp.
Well, that's right.
And she said he was a pointing right over the tops of those trees Don't you see it? See it, see the flying machine, see it, Florence. And then they couldn't see it to save their lives, you see, because it was a vision, but he didn't know it then. He thought it was a real plane, a real flying machine. He didn't know what to call it.
Well,
and because they couldn't see it, he got so mad with them, he didn't know what to do. And asked him, he says, well, you can't see anything, can you? If neither one of you can see that, you can't see anything. And Mama said they stood around there a little bit, sort of bewildered, you know, and said directly, she said, I didn't think about what it was. I just thought we couldn't see it. And she said directly, I think she called her Ma, didn't she?
Yeah, I think so.
Directly, she says, Ma said, Joe, that wasn't a real flying machine, you know. Well, he says, what was it then? She said, well, you know, that was a vision, and that wasn't for Florence and me. Said he looked all around a little, and he said, well, maybe so. And she said, we turned around and went in the house. He said, that is the last of the flying machine.
Well, this would be way back in 1800s, wouldn't it?
Well, I was born in 98, and I don't think I was even born then.
I was way before flying machines anyway.
Well, that's right. I was thinking,
oh,
you know.
Oh, yeah. That's built the first ones, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm keeping my eye on it. Are you going to have to go?
Well,
I tell you, we'll stop for right now.